Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. He is so worthy. We don't say it just because it's something natural or normal to say. It's from actual experience, actual encounters, actual manifestations of things that have transpired that make you say he's so worthy. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God. We thank Jesus for each and every one of you who are here today. Hallelujah. And our prayer is that all that the Father has in store for you, you will step into it. Every T will be crossed, every I will be dotted concerning your life, your walk, your fellowship, your existence in Christ Jesus. In him, we live and move and have our very being. Paul was saying that about God. We say that about Christ. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new and all things are of God. And he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Not only have we been reconciled to God, but in that reconciliation is healing and wholeness to make us complete, to supply what is lacking, what is broken within our lives. We can come to him all messed up, but he will not leave us that way. He's too good of a God to leave us in the same condition in which we came to him. If he's only going to do that, why even come to him? Why even waste our time serving him? If all he's going to do is leave us just as undone as we came to him and keep us that way for the rest of our lives here on this earth, causing us to be victims of life, victims of circumstances, victims of situations, victims of abuse and mistreatment, victims of hatred and rejection, just victims, victims, victims. There would be no use to serve him. But I'm telling you, he paid the price. He took our shame and our punishment. He was even rejected and despised by those who were around him, the very ones that he was going to die for. He was doing it for them as well as for us. And he didn't just do it so that we would have everlasting life. That's the end. Go to Romans chapter 6 real quick. I need one of those real Bibles. Because, that one I can just flip to the page and computers sometimes be acting up, and I have notes, but if the Holy Ghost directs me to go in some other direction, I need to be ready at the moment. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Romans. Hallelujah. Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise. Brother Finn, what translation is this? Is this King James? It is King James. Okay. I'm looking for the these and the thous. Oh, there it is. The yees and the yeas. Have you gotten there? Romans chapter 6. Go down to verse 22. But now. Everybody say, but now. Hallelujah. Not yesterday. Not tomorrow. But right now, at this moment. Being made. Praise God. You got to love the word of God. I mean, you read it and it's like, really? Yeah, really. But now, being made free from what? Free means what? It means once sin was our master, dominated, ran our lives, caused us to behave and do things in a certain manner that separated us from God. Sin didn't bring us to God. Sin separated us from him. Remember, it was God who had to come look for us, not us who had to go look for God. Adam and Eve, once they fell into transgression, they saw that they were naked, and they knew that they were now naked, and they were ashamed. Prior to that, the scripture says that they were naked, but they were unashamed. Now here they are, they're naked and they're ashamed, and they go and make fig leaves so that they could cover themselves. And when they heard the voice of God speaking, they ran and they hid themselves. That's exactly what sin will do. Now some, Pastor Lucia was saying that there's only supposed to be one living within your house, the Holy Ghost. But some who say that they belong to God live as if God is not there. They conduct and regulate their lives as if there was no God, but they claim that there is a God. But the God that they claim that they serve and know and love has no influence or impact on their life. Which means they're operating in one area of their lives. You are a body, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Which means that the body portion of man is still dominating. The carnal fallen nature of man is still reigning and ruling within the life of the individual. This individual does not think that they can be free from sin. They think that they have to sin. They think that it's okay to sin. And so they go freely living a life of sin, thinking in their minds, decorating the pews every Sunday, maybe even singing in the choir, maybe an usher, maybe a deacon, may even be a preacher, thinking that it's okay when the Bible says you now have been made free from sin. Which means sin is no longer a master, your master. Paul says it like this: don't you know that whoever you present yourself to obey, you are that one's slave? And as I started reading the word and digesting it, just for personal, not to preach, but just for personal, you know, wash me, Lord. Let me feed my spirit. Let me eat. You know, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. I have meat that you know not of. I want some of Jesus' food. And so as I'm reading and I come across this passage and it tells me to whoever you present yourself to obey, you are that one slave. Now I'll give you a sneak peek into my past. Not that, you know, I'm gloating in my past. I'm delivered from my past. And some of you have heard it already, and some of you, you know, you may have never heard it. But I remember how I would present my body after reading the scripture, whether I would present my body before a glass of alcohol or a bottle of beer or a can of beer, or whether I would take cocaine or I would take some other drug. I would present myself to it and submit to its authority in my life. It was my master. Especially when it came to freebasing. Now they call it smoking crack. Or whether it's smoking meth or shooting heroin. Whoever you present yourself to obey, you are that one slave. And so people today who are on drugs and on alcohol, people today who are out there who live loosely, I'll put it like that, involved in sexual perversion, if you will, they submit themselves to the authority of another, and that becomes their master, even if they sit in the pews of the church, because they have allowed sin to still dominate in their lives. Sin is their master. All the while they're saying, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and Lord, you know, you're the Lord of my life. You're the Savior of my soul. I give everything. I, you know, all of that. But now, right now, at this moment, at this time, you have been set free or made free from sin. Sin sin is no longer your master. You are free from it. So anything attached to sin, you are free from it. If it's anger, as Pastor Lucia was sharing earlier about anger, if anger is dominating in your life, then anger is your master. If hatred or bitterness is dominating in your life, then that's your master. If rebellion is ruling, that's your master. We can say Jesus is Lord all we want to, but yet we go and serve another master. Did you know that money can be your master? Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You're going to love one and despise the other. You're going to hate one and, you know, be committed to the other. So even money can be your master. Money is not supposed to be your master. Money is supposed to be your slave. These last few times we come together and give offerings, the Spirit of God just, you know, he stirred me up a few months back. It's like, bring that tithe and that offering before me as Abraham brought the tithes and offerings before Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a type of Christ. And when Abraham came before him, Abraham presented that to him, and Melchizedek blessed him. And so every time I come up here to bring my tithes and offerings, I bring it before my Melchizedek, and I come based on his word, and I expect a blessing. I got a better covenant now. If Melchizedek could bless Abraham, Jesus can bless Apostle Killings. Amen? Can you agree? Now, can you buy into that too? Receive it for yourself? That every time you, that's why I say, don't. I saw one person one time just take their tithes and offering, just throw it in the, and I'm like, that is just so disrespectful. Because we're not bringing it to man. We're not even bringing it to the receptacles, if you will. We're bringing this before God Almighty. We're placing it in his hands. Even under the old covenant, they didn't send potatoes and squash and watermelons and cantaloupe and, you know, whatever, peas and lentils and stuff. They didn't send that in a plane to heaven. They brought it to God's house, his storage. He said, bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse. They were bringing it into the storehouse, but they were bringing it unto God. And when you bring your tithes and your offerings, you're not bringing it to Threshing Floor Tabernacle, although you make your check out to TFT, if you will. This is just the receptacle, if you will. But you're bringing it to God. And you place that same demand because we have the same spirit of faith that Abraham had. Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We believe and so it's accounted unto us for righteousness. Amen. And so we come with that same spirit of faith that Abraham came to Melchizedek. And we come to our Jesus and we present that before him. And we claim the promises of God over that. And of the last few times, the Holy Ghost just stirred me up. And I start speaking to it because, you know, money answereth. And so then I just start talking to my offering. Sending it on an assignment. Why? Because I'm not to serve money. Money is to serve me. And I'm serving God. I'm bringing to him what he delights in. And now I'm placing a demand on his promises. He's promised to do me well. Now, when I speak of me, I'm speaking of Pastor Lucia. I'm speaking over our household. We're speaking over our children and our grandchildren, even to the third and fourth generation. We speak it over her mom and dad, Samu and Sieni Siaki. We speak it over Simeon, Leilani, Rosie and Paul, Malia and Daniel. We're speaking it over Jerry and Chris and over Joseph and over Anastasia and Sarah and over their children and their grandchildren, over Geraldine, over Sarah, over Denise, over William and Juanita and their children and their grandchildren to the third or fourth. This is everyday thing here for me. You understand? Then I come to Threshing Floor Tabernacle and I start calling out your names one by one before the master and pray that he don't let me forget any name. And whether you're stubborn, stiff-necked, or rebellious, or you're obedient and serving God with gladness, still your name is being mentioned before the throne of Almighty God that he might have his way in your life. It's commitment, dedication. We got to make this thing real in our lives. We can't just fake it. We can't just pretend like it's just something to do, pass our time away. It's not just a social gathering. We are the ecclesia of Almighty God. We are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. We shouldn't be walking around here as if we're dazed and confused. We are on purpose. We are on assignment. We got a mission. We got something to accomplish for the glory of God. And in the process, he's going to cause our lives to be blessed tremendously. Hallelujah. He just laid it on me. Lay hands on Joshua Brown. Not Joshua Brown. Joshua Samuels. And impart to him, because that work, that business has to come forth. And you got to place a demand that this thing take off in Jesus' mighty name. Take off and explode in Jesus' mighty name. It's the reason Satan's trying to, he's trying to discourage you and make you give up and throw in the towel. But God says, persevere, endure, overcome, conquer, take, possess. It's yours for the taking. It's for the kingdom of our God and our Christ. We can't be sitting back just waiting for stuff to happen. We got to initiate some things. Hallelujah. We got to start initiating. Praise God. We have to start declaring and decreeing. We have to believe God that he's going to back up his word, not our word, but his word. Lord, this is your word being spoken in the earth. There's too much wickedness going on. There's too much happening in the world. The world is like on fire, if you will, not holy fire, but destructive fire. Our political leaders, they don't know what to do. They don't have the answer. And some of them that are trying to do something, they're outnumbered by those who don't want to do anything. Our political process is worse than it's ever been. And they only get in power by our votes. And many of us won't even vote. It don't matter. It does matter. It does matter. This is why it's hard for this other party, the Democrats, to accept their loss. They just cannot believe that so many people in strategic places actually voted for Donald Trump. It's like all of their accusations against Trump are really them saying that about those who voted for Trump. That makes sense? So if they call him crazy, they call you crazy. If they say he's nuts, they say you're nuts. If they say he's dangerous, they say you're dangerous. I voted for him, so I don't care what they think and say. Amen. Because I had no other choice. Well, you did have another choice. That wasn't a choice. That was a continuation of failed policies. That was a continuation of weakness. That was a continuation of giving root, giving space to ungodliness to continue to spread all over the land. We needed somebody that would stand up and would not be afraid and not be afraid to be politically incorrect. We needed somebody that was going to sound off an alarm and say, hey, let's get this thing right here in the United States of America. We've gone too far. Somebody that will defend our Constitution. Somebody that will stand up for our Declaration of Independence. Somebody that understands that this nation has a biblical heritage. Hallelujah. This nation didn't become great because you just had some brilliant men come together and they just had these brilliant ideas. No, these men were just like the men of old who wrote the scriptures as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. These men were moved upon by writing those documents. They were heavily influenced by what God did through the children of Israel. And they saw if God did it for them, he can do it for us. Get us in a new nation where we can worship our God freely. You don't have to be a Baptist. You don't have to be a Methodist. You don't have to be a Presbyterian. You don't have to be a Pentecostal. You don't have to be a Lutheran. You don't have to be anything other than a believer in the one true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And receive his son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation. Were they perfect? No, but look what they said. In order to form a more perfect union, they understood where they were. And they said the only additives, the only changes will be to make us more perfect. Hallelujah. I know it gets quiet when you start talking like that, but we need more preachers to speak like that so we can influence the voting blocks. We can influence the voting, you know, the polls, if you will. Yeah. Because you listen to these people and they spew their stuff. They spew their venom through the television and all. And the media has become so one-sided. They're just so one-sided. Anything that goes against what they think, they just shut it down. And one particular network, and if they don't get some backbone, they're going to be wiped out too. One particular network, simply say they give it fair and balanced, and they're unafraid. That one particular network became a major target. Now, mind you, they got ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC. They got cable news network. They got the major network. They got all the media, basically. But just one organization has enough influence that influenced an election. And so they forever want to shut that one down now. Why do they want to shut it down? So that you can't get another voice. If they're successful in that and they get back in power, oh, they're really going to attack the church. And you're going to have to decide whose side you're on. Because if you're on the Lord's side, you're going to tell them you're wrong. I don't care what party you're up. If you're on the Lord's side, you're going to say, this is the way, and we walk in it. If you're on the Lord's side, if you see wickedness, you're going to call it for what it is, irregardless to the repercussions, the consequences. You're going to stand for something, stand for truth. So, we've been made free from sin. Hallelujah. And become servants of God. That word doesn't say, well, you might slip. Now, there is a verse. In 1 John, he says, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And we can go and we can repent of our sin, not continue to live in it, but repent of our sin and be freed from our sin and be cleansed from our sin, even of the guilt of our sin. He put us in the right position to serve him, to assure us you're free from sin. In verse 14, we're going to come back to 22, but go to verse 14. Look what it says in verse 14. Y'all read it. 1, 2, 3, go.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Wait a minute. Grace. I thought grace gave me the excuse or reason to continue in my sin. Because after all, I have grace. No. Because I have grace, the power of sin has been broken. Sin cannot dominate me. I dominate it. It's the very thing that God told Cain after he had slew his brother Abel. He says, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you to rule over you. But then he says, but you shall rule over it. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. This will shut off some pornography on computers and, you know, lusting and lust novels and watching soap operas and stuff like that. You know, it'll cut all of that mess out of your life, because all that stuff is just contaminating your spirit and feeding your flesh. And you'll find yourself giving over and being ruled and dominated by the flesh when you ought to be dominated and ruled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is in your spirit, even giving you power over your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, so that you become renewed in the spirit of your mind, to where you're no longer carnally minded, but you're now spiritually minded. What happens to a carnally minded person? Well, if you're in the flesh and you're thinking about the flesh, you're going to be governed by the flesh, and that's all you're going to do. And that will just separate you from God. But if you're in the spirit and your mind is influenced by the Spirit of God, you're going to be thinking and meditating upon spiritual things, and you're going to be walking, living, and residing in the Spirit. And as Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, which means let us march in divine order. It comes from a Greek word. And when I say this word that we know, it's a word that comes from or derived from it. I think the Greek word is stoicheo, but you know the word stoic. How many of you, Pastor Lucia, used to love to use that word? You're so stoic. And what is stoic? Somebody, come on. Sister Shanice is demonstrating stoic. So for the sake of the people, could you just please let them see you demonstrate stoic if you just stand up and give a stoic look to them? That's how soldiers are. And that's the mindset of walking in the Spirit in cooperation with him. He is master. He is the, what's the high-ranking official in the military? I know there's generals, but who under that? Four-star general, okay, and then the one that, the captain, and is there anything in between the captain? Corporal? Sergeant? Okay. Well, we got those orderly ranks. General, corporal, sergeant, you know, what have you. And the soldier's responsibility is to march in order. The general gives the directions. The captains or whoever they carried out, they give it to the lieutenants and the you know, obviously I didn't serve in the military, but I'm in God's army, if you will. And they give it to the soldiers, and the soldiers carry it out, and they don't have a decision. They don't even have a choice. They don't even have a suggestion in the matter. They simply carry out the orders. They're stoic. They're like those soldiers that will stand still at the gates or at the doors, and if a fly landed on their nose, they could not move. They just look straight. They don't move for that period of time that they are assigned to watch or whatever position they are in. They cannot move. Stoic. You follow the marching orders of the one who is in charge, and the one who is in charge is the Holy Ghost, and he's on the inside of you. And you follow him. That's the orderly formation. That's what brings the body of Christ into unity, into oneness. We will never come together into unity based on our opinions. We will never be able to come into unity based on what we think and what we believe. We will only come into unity being led by the Spirit of God, which is according to the word, the rhema of God, if you will, that leads us into divine order, divine alignment all the time. Hallelujah. So, sin shall not have dominion over you. Go back to verse 22 again, because we still have not gotten to the portion of the verse that I want to get to. We're almost there, though. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God. Hallelujah. You have your fruit unto holiness. Can you see that? Free from sin, servant of God, you now have your fruit unto holiness. Now you can begin to bear the attributes of a holy lifestyle. What is a holy lifestyle? A lifestyle that is set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from sin. Set apart from the world. Set apart from the devil. A life that is solely, S-O-L-E-Y, solely consecrated to God. And the fruit of that lifestyle begins to manifest because you have the ingredients that you need. So a life that is influenced or a life that is governed, a life that is dictated by sin, you cannot have the fruit of holiness. You will not get holy by doing unholy things. It doesn't work like that. You only step into holiness as you walk into it, if you will. If you pursue the one who is holy. Because in the pursuit of God, as the scripture says, you will be cleansed even by the fellowship, the koinonia with God. You will be cleansed by his precious blood. Really? Yeah. He's not just showering you with his love. He's cleansing you by his blood even right now. Did you know that Jesus, when he was with his disciples, as he's getting ready to go to the cross, he's speaking to them, and then he says, you are already cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Isn't that something? While we're having this dialogue, you've been cleansed and you've been purged. Praise God. And so in the fellowship with God, this is something that you have to really give attention to. Because if your life is still controlled by the flesh, dominated by wickedness, or if you're just, you know, you find, I can't hear from God. I can't, you know, nothing never seems to work out for me and stuff like that. You need to consider whether you're pursuing God. And if you are pursuing him, you need to make sure that you're following after the right one. Because if you're not, then of course you're going to have chaos, confusion, and disorder. But our God is a God of peace. He's a God of order. And so in coming to him and in constant communion and fellowship with him, what he is, you become. You don't become God, but you become like him. You start to take on his attributes, his characteristics, his traits, if you will. All of a sudden, you start reading in Galatians chapter 5, you see yourself less of the manifestation of the flesh and more of the manifestation or the fruit of the Spirit. That's becoming more and more regular out of the life because of who you're following, who you're pursuing. This is you can't take no time out. You know, this is not, you know, you can't have no time out, no rest periods in your relationship with God. You enter into his rest, but you don't get no rest periods. I'm taking a break, man. It's just been too much. I just had too much going on this week, and I'm tired of following. I'm just taking a break, Father. I'll follow you next week. No, you got to follow him day in and day out. With every breath that you breathe, you need to be following after him. You need to be constantly aware of his presence. Not just when you go to church, but even when you're out there in the streets where it really matters, when you're at home, where it really matters, when it's when in fellowship with you and your spouse, where it really matters, when it's dealing with your kids, where it really matters. You need to know that God is with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You need to be aware of his presence and what he's trying to bring forth through you. Am I making any sense? Because we'll drop God in a minute. Hey! What you doing? You know, we get an attitude or with, you know, the flesh will just act. We just slammed the door on Jesus and didn't even realize it. It's like, no, always being aware of his presence, especially when you start using this. Because the tongue itself is an unruly member. This is why some saints can't get over cussing. See, they rationalize it and say, oh, it's okay. God don't mind if you just slip every now and then. He minds because every word that you speak, you will be held account for. Every idle word. Every one of them? Every one of them. How can that be? God said it. Jesus said it. I believe Jesus. Jesus walked on water. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. You know, he cleansed the lepers. And, you know, he ascended on high. If he could do all of that, I'm sure he can bring into account every word that I have spoken. So be aware of God's presence, even as you speak, as you conduct yourself, whether it's at home, whether it's at the job, whether it's out there in the marketplace, whether it's here in church, always remember God's presence is with you wherever you go. So he says, we have our fruit unto holiness. And the end, this is what I started with when I said, let's go to Romans chapter 6. The end. Everybody say the end. Now, what is the end? It's the end. It's like when everything's settled and done, boom. So that means that there's a whole lot going on before you get to the end, because you're not dead in the sense of being dead 6 feet under in the grave. We should be dead to sin and alive to God, but we're not dead in the sense that our lives no longer exist in the earth. So while we're here on this earth, we are to be free from sin, servants of God, having our fruit unto holiness, which is being free from sin and a servant of the Most High God, because in that fellowship with him, I'm telling you, he's cleansing, he's sanctifying, he's washing. If you're not changing, it's because you're not fellowshipping with God. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to get you to face the facts. Praise God. If you're pursuing Jesus, you're going to take on the image and likeness of Christ. Hallelujah. Your life will be constantly changed. That's why many people don't want to build a relationship with God. I don't want to be constantly changed. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Let me tell you, you do. You'll see how miserable, wretched, and undone you are, but you're thankful that you're not in the same place that you were as you continue to go on with him and let him perfect you. Hallelujah. Glory. Because as this is being done, the end, we have everlasting life. Yeah, man, you got eternal life. You got eternal life abiding in you now. And in the end, you're going to have eternal life. But what you doing right now? Because you can spend eternal life in glory, or you can spend eternity somewhere else. And if you're a child of God, you're not trying to get free. You are free. You're free from your past. You're free from what others did to you. You're free from what you did to others. You're free from sin. Anybody getting this? You're free. The shackles are broken. The yokes are destroyed. The burdens are lifted. You are free. Man, enjoy your liberty in Jesus. Hey, praise God. I'm going to be bound by a cigarette. You do that pretty good, Pastor. That's because I did it when I was in the world. Yeah. There's a lot of things I did when I was in the world, but I've been delivered for over 33 years, so I can't be bound by it anymore. Amen. So, how you go? You know, to whoever you present yourself to obey, you are that one slave. Think about it now. Think about food. I'm telling you, Jesus did a work during this last fast. I'm telling you, praise God. Because I'm like, man, Lord, I could see myself getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And my appetite keep increasing. I want to stop. I want to slow down. And then he gave me deliverance instantly during the fast to get back in charge of that. That's just for me. You do things for you. I just know, I just, whether it was a spirit of fear or what have you. I would just, when I was younger, I would watch men and I would see, we came up and, you know, they were slim and trim. And then all of a sudden, they just kept increasing in volume. I'm like, man, what is this? Something in the water? What is it? What's going on? And then next thing I know, I started seeing it happen to me. And it's like, whoo, praise God. Oh, I used to look like Deacon Patton. I used to look like Deacon Posada. But now I look like the beach whale or something like that. That's just me personally. That's how I view myself. Now, you can view yourself differently because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? There's no guilt or condemnation on anybody. Whatever your hang-up may be. At that point in time, food was like a hang-up. I'm like, I got to get in control of this. I told Pastor Lucia, I'm at 250. I got to do something about this. Because if I don't, 260 will be coming. It just be like, we coming your way. We're going to take over you. Yeah, we're going to take over you. You know how it is now trying to get up? You know, trying to get up out of the bed. And you got a rock now. Who got a rock? Man, I used to just pop up. Hey, see, some of the thin men understand. But now you got to rock in order to get enough momentum to get up and sit up in the bed. That's not good. That is not good. So food can be your master. Various things can be your master. They become your idol. You begin to worship it more than you worship God. You pay more homage to it than you do to God. And those things need to be broken because you are free. Hallelujah. You're free. You aren't called to be slave to nothing. Except for Jesus, we are his slave, and in slavery in him is freedom and liberty. Praise God. He's the best master you will ever find. So let's just get everything in gear. Bless God. Let's put everything in divine alignment. Come on, because we got some giants to slay in this land. People who really truly need to be set free by God's mighty power and outstretched arm. We want the anointing to increase so much that when they're driving into the parking lot, pow, the power hits them. They come in with a praise report and testimony. I was just driving in the parking lot and bam, I just started speaking in tongues and I don't know where it came. It just happened. People flying in from all over the world because the healing power of Jesus has manifested in our midst. And they know that they can come here and get healed and made whole. People fly all over the place for healing. Yeah. You know, Pastor Benny Hinn, worldwide healing crusades. People come from all over the world to be healed. And there's nothing wrong with that. God could do that right here in Antioch. I'm not saying he doesn't heal, but what I'm saying is that the word spreads abroad. God is delivering people not only from devils but cancer. He's delivering them from, you know, scoliosis. He's delivering them from some of the worst conditions that we've seen. People who were had a curvature of the spine, just all of a sudden, we heard bones popping, and they just... boom, they just straightened up and nobody touched them. It just happened, man. I was watching live stream and I saw this lady, and this lady was blind and she came in with a walker, but the hands were laid on her and boom, she saw for the first time, you know? And then you have people coming from all over the world. And then they'd be saying, revival in Antioch. Everybody come. Everybody who's hungry, come. Everybody who's thirsty, come. Hallelujah. If you don't want that, something's wrong with you. If you don't want multitudes to get saved, if you don't want the city saved, if you don't want your neighborhood saved, something is drastically wrong with you. Because this is what we're about as a church. I got to stop. I got 5 more minutes, but I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Remember, but now being made free from sin. So everything that God considers sin, you've been made free from. Hallelujah. And the reason sickness is in the world today is because of sin. So if you're free from the sin, you'll be free from the sickness too. In Jesus' name. You don't see in Scripture, although you see a lot of it today, where people, they're so plagued by their past that they can't break free from it to enjoy the present and to step into the future. And they're saved. And that just not ought to be. I don't see where Jesus said, you know, well, I take that back. He asked the man, how long has he been like this? Concerning the boy who was possessed with devils. But he wasn't like searching, what happened in his past? How did it open up? What did he do? Where was he at? You know, who was around him at the time? And no, he just cast the devil out. The devil acted up too, coming out of him. Had him foam at the mouth, threw him on the ground, and when he finally came out, they thought the boy was dead. He probably was. But Jesus went over and brought him up, raised him up. We've got to get to that place where everybody is healed and everybody is made whole. And we cannot stop until we see it manifest. And we must always remember, but now. No, see, brother, that will happen when, you know, when we get raptured and we're in heaven and glory. We'll finally be free from all but now. That'll happen when Jesus returns to the earth and not but now. Don't let wine, alcohol, marijuana, especially marijuana, because they're trying to legalize this stuff. Don't let it be your master. Don't let anger be your master. Don't let hatred or bitterness be your master. Don't let rebellion be your master. Anything that gives place to sin, don't let it be your master. You're free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you don't know how good freedom is until you get set free. Because if you're bound by something, and you, especially if you like it, you think that this is it. But you don't know how it is to be free. I praise God. I thank God for freedom. I used to be in bondage in ministry, and Jesus set me free in 1998, I think it was. No, not 1988. He set me free. And when I got free, I'm like, whoo, I felt that thing lift off of me. And I was like, whoa, praise God. Yeah. I've been in bondage before. I like freedom better. Hallelujah.